This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Stephen Allen, live from the Fringe on FUBAR Radio.
Well, indeed, look at this. Live from this here, Edinburgh, still here. Somehow we have survived. They said it couldn't happen. I think they were right. Joined by Eric McElroy. Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
How are you coping? How many years into the Fringe are we right now?
This is the third week that is pointless. Basically, this is called the week that is for the people that have been nominated for things that I have not been.
Oh.
And will never be. But
so
that's fine.
So you've not, you've not hung on to that as an issue at all then? That's
no,
good.
No. I've let that go long time ago. But every year, this week, is reminded, just like, well, all right, this is when you're supposed to be going home already.
Do you want me to buy a web address and then set up an award?
Yes.
Called like the,
yes.
This is an
please.
Award for Eric.com.
Because I did
sure
it myself and people noticed.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
If you could do it for me, that might
not
be
a problem.
Better.
I'll get that sorted. anyway. So it's been a whole year, it's been a whole week since we chatted last time we did one of these shows. What's happened to you in the last week?
We're going to do our personal headlines.
A little bit.
It's been all right. People have been coming to the show. I think one of the best moments of fly rain. Because if you've never been to Edinburgh and you don't know and you're out there listening, one of the joys of doing it at the level of comedy that I'm at is I can't afford to pay that many people to fly for me.
You wait till
so
you win the
This
Is an Award
picture.
For Eric.com award.
Yeah, exactly.
It's going to launch you, baby.
And I think comedians generally think it's like a low point, but people are generally chuffed to get a, you know, they're like, oh, it's you. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm not successful.
Yeah.
And, but I had a woman, I gave her a flyer yesterday, and she said, I can't come see your show. I'm only here for another day because I'm here to see my dying mother. I was like, okay, wow. Well, that means, you know, you've got today, don't you? So... But she won't be the only one dying at Edinburgh this Fringe. So,
well, this is a very positive vibe to start this show with. Excellent. Why not come and visit? What time's your show on? People would love to see this.
1 o'clock. So, and at least every day forever.
We do our normal FUBAR show, which is Mondays, 10 o'clock through till 1 o'clock, we talk about the news. We talk about some news. We always start with some headlines about, you know, stories that we ain't going to have any jokes on. We can do the same thing today.
Yep.
You want to crack up? How many have you got before we should have checked
this? I've got three.
Beautiful work. So far.
Okay, right. So we ready?
Go for it.
Here we go. The headlines. The Met Office have lost their contract to do weather for the BBC. Shocking. If only they could have forecast that, maybe they'd still have a job. Or you could have probably forecast the end of that joke because it's pretty obvious where it was going.
A man who hit social media when he was filmed breaking the news to his girlfriend that she was pregnant has now been found out that he was one of the users of the Ashley Madison adultery website. And so now she doesn't know if the baby is actually hers.
I like that one.
Okay.
Tories plan to strip unemployed youngsters of benefits unless they go to boot camp. A spokesman stated it works great for China. Their youth make fantastic footwear.
A man was tasered on an EasyJet flight, and seeing as it's EasyJet, he was charged for the electricity.
If only I had been David Cameron when he was on the EasyJet
flight.
Yeah,
he should have been. Because missed it by that much.
Because we didn't talk about that last week. No, because I don't think it happened yet. David Cameron getting caught on the flight, on EasyJet flight, eating a box of Pringles. And I'm sure he's sitting there thinking, man, Barack Obama gets his own plane. All I get to do is expense my Pringles.
Yeah, but does Obama get Pringles?
take that
as the win.
He gets whatever he wants. He's the president of America.
Is it my go yet? Or no? I don't know.
We've kind of lost the thread there. I've got one.
You want do it then. Do it?
All right. A man was arrested after 100,000 pound damage that he put on an Aston Martin car in Hackney. He keyed it. Thank God he was caught. I have to feel really sorry for that Aston Martin owner. Poor guy probably can't afford insurance after he bought that really expensive car.
You're so bitter because you drive a rubbish car. Let go, dude.
The guy, not only that, he installed a camera in it just to see. So I bet when he was so excited because he put a dash camera in there to see if anybody touched his fucking car. And then somebody goes, oh, look, I got him on the camera. Such a dick. I hate him.
Okay, 1 o'clock every day, come and see this angry man. And the final headline from me, this is a serious news story. I apologize for bringing the tone down, and it was so positive before. One Direction have gone in their, you know, separate directions. I mean, I'm upset by this. I always get upset. I mean, I remember Take That splitting up. That was emotional for me. I think the most emotional one was when JLS split up because Marvin said he was going to go part-time. Well, he said he was only going to come in one of the Saturdays. Weird. That is the response I was after. One person clapping, three people threw up. That's what I'm after.
Well, we have found a level in the room.
And it is not that level. That's what we've worked out. So, yeah, I mean, looking forward. So you've done your... We didn't do this last week. We didn't say the name of your show. Because it's such a long one. I think it fills the hour.
But it does, pretty much. It's an imperfect guide to picking the perfect president.
Yeah. So do you... what's your plans with this? Are you going to be touring this around various nations?
Yeah, the nationwide tour will start in my bedroom. No, that sounds... Well, you know, it's presidential politics, so there has to be some little kinky sex going on in the closet. That's the plan.
Okay, that's an interesting piece of information that's made people not turn up at 1 o'clock today. It's a very small room you do
it's
this
It's a very intimate room. No, I mean, you know, I don't know. You never know until the festival's over what magic might happen. But, I mean, I actually genuinely am happy with the show, and it's been fun.
But the American election thing's not until... How
next
many months
November,
ago?
So I've got a year and a bit left.
Are you just going to do the same show
just
in Edinburgh next year?
Just the same jokes over and over again. That's
that
what,
is a know, genius
one works,
plan.
You know? No, I mean, I'll be evolving it, and then hopefully next year there'll be a sequel. And I'll get closer to the results and then just keep milking this cow until something happens, until it runs out.
And how often is it? Every 5 years they do the election?
4 years.
Every 4 years?
Yeah.
So basically you only need to write two shows and then just the 2 years before each election just do the same show.
You've just rumbled me.
Darn, look at this guy. He's with his plan. That is a brilliant thing. So what time have you got to head over to?
I've got a few minutes.
Oh, beautiful.
I'd love to see the first guest and then I'll leave because I have to go to my show.
So is it going
to
be... Joe. Well, I mean, and I've got the round of applause ready as well. So please, can we welcome to the stage our first guest, Joe Burke? Look at that. The audience goes wild. And the audience suddenly stops. Yeah, wherever you want, come along. Hello, Joe. I'm Steve. This is Eric.
Hello, how are you?
I won't be very long, but that's not because...
Oh, that's a shame.
My show starts in a few minutes. So.
Oh, cool.
He's got a room full of people to be depressed in front of.
What are you people doing here? My career is in tatters.
Well, don't keep them waiting.
Wow, that's a hint. Beautiful work. You wouldn't be dissing him like that if you realised he was nominated for the This Award is for Eric Award.
Excellent. I'm only nominated. For a similar award.
Yeah, he didn't get through to the finals, which is really
what if
awkward.
I won it?
It's probably my luck, to be honest.
Been one of those fringes. So tell us, how's your show? What is your show and how's it been going?
It's been going great. It's amazing. I'm at the Cowgate Head at 3 o'clock and it's the first year. It's my fifth Edinburgh show, but I normally do characters, but it's my first year as me.
Wow. So. Oh, do you feel more exposed or do you
I
actually,
do.
If you hit that, I mean, 5 years in, surely you've hit the state, and no offence to people who are audiences, but there is an element of not caring, isn't there? It's like kind of, there's another audience along tomorrow. Just laugh, don't laugh, get out of the room, that kind of vibe.
Sorry, what was the question? I was laughing.
Oh, good point. You should come and see my show every day at 7:15. Although I think one person laughing would just make it awkward.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I'd rather have all silence.
Just complete silence,
just
yeah.
Just odd. So you are, I guess, I mean, I've never done character stuff.
Right.
But is there an element of more protection if you are in character?
Yeah, there is. You do kind of feel that. And my main character that I usually do is Mary Magdalene, and she's a mad drunk Irish alcoholic spinster, so you kind of don't get she's never been heckled, basically. She's too frightening. She's far too frightening. Check it out, it's on YouTube. So when you're suddenly doing yourself, you do feel a bit more like people might be sort of up for it a bit more, but it's not that kind of show. It's quite interactive, and I'm pretending I'm much more famous than I am, and they're previews for my Palladium show later in the year. And I'm also doing them as my audience with shows, so I've got celebrities in the audience that ask me questions. So yeah, I've got it covered. It's pretty cool.
So if you've got, I'm assuming, pretend audience. I mean, this, how rude of me. Maybe
pretend
you
do, audience?
No, as in pretend celebrities in the audience. I mean, maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, no, I can't get them. I mean, when I do the Palladium show, they will be real celebrities, but obviously they can't come here every day in Edinburgh, so I have stand-ins.
Yeah. Do they heckle you? Have you
been no, although they do make a good go of trying to be who I tell them they are,
right?
Which is pretty good.
That's
quite talented audiences.
Everyone in Edinburgh's, you know, wants to be in a show.
Yeah.
That's the other one.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that is true. So, no, I've been very fortunate.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the week three, this is the one, it is emotional. I mean, I know you brought some nice vibe to it, but I think there is a stage of when you get to this level of, it's a gig every single day, and it is quite a relentless little schedule, isn't it?
It is, it really is, but I've been quite fortunate because I've only done the last 2 weeks, you see, this year.
Oh, this is how you do it. This is the secret.
You see, this is where I'm still a bit twinkly and sparkly eyed, you see. Yeah. So last year nearly killed me, and which is why my show this year is called Ice Cream, because it literally nearly did me in, because I did two character comedy shows last year. And I was flying for 3 hours every day like you do. Yeah. And I was exhausted. And I thought, maybe I'm never going to do this again. Or I do it again and make it really fucking easy.
Yeah.
Which is what I've done. So that's why there's no props, no costumes. Well, there are actually, because I do like a prop and a costume. But nowhere near as many as there usually is.
I do feel sorry for people who are prop acts who, you know... who have to carry stuff around with
suitcases,
them.
Suitcases. Two suitcases I had last year.
But we're prop acts, essentially, because we both use multimedia. So we have to have a computer and sometimes a projector.
There you go.
And
I had all that last year as well.
And that's a pain in the ass as well.
Yeah, last year I had a projector as well. That's why this year we're in a place with a TV on the wall.
Oh, genius. Yes.
Thank you.
The little joys in life that you would never think you'd be excited about.
I know. But I was still part of the Free Fringe last year, and I had to take a projector screen and a projector up and down every day.
Yeah,
and I was like, what have I done? For some reason, I thought I was Andrew Lloyd Webber last year, taking on a full-scale two shows on my own. It's like, what?
I remember because I had the massive projector screen, which is difficult to maneuver through people. And I remember it was in the last week last year, I thought to myself, Steve, just write some jokes.
Yes.
Stop needing to point at headlines. Just write a damn joke. And I failed to do that because this year, back with the telly.
Back with the telly, it's good.
That's the great thing about the modern, you know, with the laptop. I know you've got quite an old Apple laptop.
I've gone retro with my laptop.
Retro. Yes. His Apple computer is so old, I think it's the one that Adam gave to Eve, or the other way around. I don't know how that works, but that's a joke. Just thought of that right there. But the, I've got a nice lightweight laptop. I mean, like in the olden days, you know, like, I don't know when it was, but when computers were the size of a house.
Hmm.
Those Edinburgh shows must have been tricky.
Those were hard to do.
Yeah. Whereas now, lightweight laptop, that's the key to it.
It is the way forward, definitely.
You're looking at your watch an awful
lot. I
gotta
go. I'm gonna go make sure my tech is there. So, lovely to meet you.
You
and
too.
Have a good rest of the Fringe, and I'll see
yeah.
you.
Yeah, and congratulations on the award.
Thank you very much. Please. And I would like to thank the Academy. So thank you very much. See you guys.
Eric McElroy, ladies and gentlemen. There's his applause. It's all right. Now let's have a look at timing wise. So we get to delve in a little bit more into how's your. Is there any. Because as a show on Fubo, we like to get a little bit news obsessed. Any news that you've noticed? I'm not expecting news from the outside world because we all know the deal.
I was just going to say no.
Yeah, the Edinburgh bubble means that, you know, a nation could have folded and none of us would care.
No. So I have no outside news, no. Yeah. The inside news is I did my washing yesterday.
That is a big day, though, isn't it?
It's a big day. Washing.
How many washing days do you do during Edinburgh?
It's my second one this Edinburgh so far. Oh, yeah, so that's breaking news. Yeah,
you mean clothes washing, not your own personal.
Yeah, boilies. Yeah. No, I have more than one wash. Per
Some
week.
Some people
at
don't
least.
Out there. I've noticed. I've noticed that with my acute nose.
My room is like a million degrees. So I think I lose probably about stone every show. It's like ridiculous.
No, I never realised. Because if you talk to people back home, they'll be like, "Oh, you're up there where it's cold.
Yeah.
We are not where it's cold."
People try and cuddle you after the show, and you're like, "Don't touch me." I'm like the melting woman. It's horrible. Oh, it's really me.
Although people do pay for saunas. I mean,
yes, that's true, and that's exactly what my space is like. It's like a big sauna for 70 people.
I do think if I could have one room with aircon, I would fill that audience every single week, every day. Because that's the one thing you want when you're up here, isn't it? Just a little break from the sweat.
Yes.
So, I mean, in terms of, I mean, I guess the rest of Edinburgh, for the rest, I never pop up during days, you know, non-August times.
No, neither do I. And I say it every year. Wouldn't it be lovely to come and see Edinburgh when it's just being Edinburgh?
When it's not filled with students going, and five-star show, come and see my show. That kind of non-stop. I would say it does make me hate students. I get to this stage.
It is tricky.
And you do see, like, because I have to fly my show on my own as well.
Yeah.
I've got two other flyers out there, but we stand in different places and I hand out the flyers.
Yeah.
And as Eric says, you get that moment where someone goes, "Oh my God, it's you on the flyer." And you're like, "Yeah, it is. Yeah, I'm aware of the fact that I'm not."
Thanks.
I'm not being showbiz. And they're like, "Oh, it's really great to meet you." It's not, trust me.
It's not.
I know me, and it's not great to meet me.
But it's weird for me this year because normally where I do characters, my name is on the flyer somewhere, but it's normally kind of small print. But this year, because I'm doing it as me and flyering my show as me, people say, "Oh, brilliant, we'll come and see you, Joe." And I'm like, "How do they know?" Yeah, I'm saying they're giving this out.
You should get them back. Have you done the thing where you're flyering outside the Starbucks? Other Starbucks are available.
By the Tron.
By the Tron, yeah. So as they walk towards you, you just go, "This is the show for you, Debbie." I'm like, "Oh, how do you know this thing?" It's, like, "It's written on your cup, you idiot." So what if you seem to have more than just a flyer in front of you?
Well, I don't like to talk about it, but but I've actually got a book out this year. Go on then, I will, if I'm pushed, talk about it. Yeah, it's doing really rather well on Amazon, yeah. So I've got a book out, same title as my show, Ice Cream, and it's about a year that I did internet dating. I don't know if anyone out there has done internet dating. If you haven't, I've saved you the trouble. And the pain is mine, and it's a bit like Bridget Jones, but obviously Bridget Jones was fictitious. Joe Burke is real, so when you're laughing along at this, just remember it is my real life.
Did you ever try that Ashley Madison website everyone's been hearing about?
No. Really? No. But isn't that for married people?
Well, I don't count. Seems like for evil people. But the thing is, and just as a brief aside, I don't know who to hate in that story, because the people on that website all having affairs, yes. I guess they're consenting to it, but they're cheating on people, so they're horrible. Yeah. But hackers who put information on the dark web are horrible as well.
Yes.
I don't know who the bad... I like a story where you know who the bad guy is.
Yes.
Like, you know, like with your Star Wars and your Cinderella and your every episode of Come Dine With Me. You watch
I just want to be the guy that does the narrative on that. Yeah. I love it.
Within every episode, there's always the first introduction and someone will be like, oh, I'm a bit of a joker. I'm going to wish you were dead by the end of this. Bake yourself into your own pie, you dick. Right, let's bring on the next guest as well. A man who should... Now, how's your mind? You said last year you nearly had a breakdown.
Yeah, I did nearly have a breakdown,
This is
yes.
when we could need an expert in the mind. Doug Segal, is he in the room? Can we bring it to the stage? Hello.
Oh, hey.
How am I getting your surname right? Segal, Seagull, what am I doing?
Do you know everybody? Oh, well done, Seagull. Well done, Seagull. You hit the only non-working mind.
Is it on? Oh. Have you switched it on?
King tech, we love tech.
Come through, sit down. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Do you know everybody gets my name wrong? So I'm kind of in a weird scenario where my stage name is effectively my name just pronounced badly.
That's a great
because
plan.
Yeah, I know, like literally every TV show except the BBC always get it right, God bless them, but everyone else, I've got like reams and reams of being introduced on TV as, hey, it's Doug Segal. No it's really not.
So is it
really
just
say that. It's Seagull.
Seagull. Well, if you spelt it like a seagull, you could have solved yourself a lot of trouble.
Don't spell it like seagull, you're reading it wrong.
Like a seagull.
Yeah, that's
yeah.
a thing.
Seagull. Yes.
I mean, to be fair, the bird, the seagull, was here first. So
and not called Doug.
I'm older than I look.
something cliff. Yes. There's a joke there somewhere. Yep. Who knows what that joke is, but it's there if you need
it. It's from the Forsyth School, isn't it?
Yes. Bless him, though. Oh, he's puns.
He's a legend, isn't he? A legend.
And also, you know, any day now, so you don't make bad comments about him. So tell us about your show. You've had a great run of it of late, haven't you?
Yeah, it's all been going ridiculously well. You guys are going to hate me by the end of this, if you don't really. This Edinburgh should have been an absolute breeze, except that I've been really ill. I was in a kind of karmic backslash.
But what kind of illness? Contagious ones?
Terminal, yeah.
Ultimately,
all illnesses are terminal. Eventually.
I've
got a problem with inside the joint of my shoulder with a thingy pressing on a nerve, and it's been like insanely painful. And they told me I needed surgery to fix it 2 days before the Fringe. So obviously I said, yeah, let's book that in for September.
Right. So you're slogging it out with the pain.
Yeah, I eventually tracked down a very nice doctor who gave me two steroid injections.
Oh, yeah.
Like, actually into the joints. And it took forever to find one because you need either an orthopedic surgeon or like a specially trained doctor. And what I found terrifying about it is, like, it's a really specialist thing. And he's got posters on the wall of how to do it. Now, is that just me or is that just a tiny bit creepy?
Yeah.
Just weird. But yeah, so, but the show's going incredibly well. I'm supposed to be flying every day. I've not done a bit of flyering.
Oh, this bad shoulder. I mean, that is one of the muscles that the joints
it's
you use.
It's one of the
fly.
Major flyering joints.
Really is.
But I mean, I'm doing bazillion spots and I'm always exit flyering those. And I mean, like today I'll go well. but
you need to take about 20 flyers each. That's the only way. Only to give it some impact.
see, we've done that wrong because we've got the whole beauty of radio. We've got to just build this up. They don't know.
No,
yeah. They
away.
Don't know.
And if I've got the little sound effect to make it sound busy.
Yeah, go. Oh, thank you.
Well, that's not busy, that's a shower.
You get naked in front of that many people? Well, no wonder your show's going well.
Would you not? But yeah, so the show's going ridiculously well. We're selling out most nights. I've not employed a PR this year. I've still had two reviews, and I've had a 4 and a 5 star, so that's good.
So your show, we've not even explained yet, is kind of mind-bending,
yeah.
Whatever the phrase
one is. One of the reviews from a previous year, which I think describes me fairly well, though I hate the fact I have to reference another performer to do it, but The Guardian said, imagine a cross between Derren Brown and a stand-up comedian who teaches you how to do the Jedi mind tricks he's doing. What I'm miming, by the way, people at home, is not a Jedi mind trick. What I'm basically miming is a really shit shadow puppet rabbit.
I now genuinely believe that these aren't the droids I'm looking for.
Hey! I was thinking earlier about Darth Madison when you were talking about recasting that whole story as Star Wars. I just think that's a lovely idea. But so what I do is, my shtick is that I'm a comedy act, but I also do kind of mind reading stuff. And my shtick is that in the show that I teach the audience how to do it. Mm-hmm. So in the show, I teach the audience how to detect lies, how to implant suggestions. Everyone goes home with a mind trick they can do with their friends. And the show genuinely closes with a random audience member on stage reading the minds of the rest of the audience.
Wow.
Which is pretty cool.
That's genius.
It's all right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Do you not think if you learn how to read lies in people, though, life would be an uphill struggle?
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's kind of been we all do it anyway. We can all kind of tell when we're being bullshitted. I mean, that's literally what we're doing. All I'm doing is taking that to a
that's the only reason
level.
I tried to get into showbiz, is so that people will say nice things. I mean, this is the perk of the job. Yeah. People, oh, you did
have
a great show.
Have you met Kate Copstick?
But with your mind control, can you make reviewers give you good reviews? Is there some kind of...
Yes. With great power comes great responsibility.
I would flout that responsibility.
And then obviously you've also got to have some mind to work with, haven't you? I mean, because there are some brilliant reviewers out there. I mean, you know, I mocked Kate. Kate, I think, is absolutely a brilliant reviewer. I think even her awful reviews are constructive. Mm. And I think they're always considered. And, you know, I think she's a really good reviewer. Richard Stamp from Fringe Guru, I think, is a really, really, really good reviewer. He really cares about it. And then you've got things like, I read on Facebook, I won't say who the comedian is or who the publication is, but it's four letters long and only exists during festival time.
I've got no idea what
it is. I know. It's like a code.
I can read your mind right
now. Hey! Wow. He's good, isn't he?
Easier than you'd think. He was saying, I had a guy come up to me while I was flying, and he said, I just want you to know, I saw your show last night. I thought it was brilliant. And I thought, should I give this 4 stars or 3? And, you know, because it's in insert name of title here, because it's in there, that's worth a 4 anywhere else. So I gave you a 3. I mean,
what?
But I think reviewers...
How dead inside must you be to want to go to another human being and say that?
Mm. That's bizarre.
I think reviewers think that being the tough reviewer is the way forward. That they like to just be the most critical, the most
harsh.
That's
not what reviewing is. What reviewing is explaining to the audience at home what happens in the show and giving relative merits of that within the genre. And that's what reviewing is. Most of the things up here are not reviews. They are judgment calls on whether that person liked them and or can think of something mean and or clever to say.
Yeah. There are some reviews where you think they thought of that joke on the way into the show, and they know they're going to find the flaw.
Oh man,
so they can
there's a show in my venue. The guys I know in there, and they were saying, same publication by the way, got a stinking review based on the fact that it's a late night show, and there were hecklers in there. So that was their main problem, was that there were hecklers in there. That got them a 2-star review, and the reviewer left halfway through. And made up the review on the second half. So like most of it was like completely factually inaccurate.
Oh, yeah. My goodness.
You know. So before we bring on the next guest, I think, let's, because this is good catharsis that I need. How do you, because everyone gets a bad review, how easy do you find it to be able to just shake it off?
Oh, I used to be horrific about it. But what really made a difference to me was somebody said to me, look, Doug, you do know that nobody reads these reviews. And that's true, they don't. The only reviews they read are the ones that you show them. So the ones that you post outside your venue, the ones that you stick on your flyer, nobody reads them. Don't moan about them. Don't Google them and obsessively reread them, because that just pushes them up the Google ratings.
Yeah.
Just walk away. I mean, so I'd like to say I don't read them at all, but that was a lie. But, you know, I mean, I've not had a bad review. I'm going to sound like a complete cock here, but I've not had a bad review since 2013. And like, some of those, like, early in that run that year, they were stinking shows. They were bad shows and deservedly poor reviews. Mm. But to be honest with you, kind of, I looked at what I was being told and I went, right, well, I'll fix that. And by the end, I was getting 5-star reviews. So I thought that was a useful thing. But yeah, it stings.
Yeah.
You've got to remember that, like I say, nobody reads them unless you show them to them.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Well, I'm a bit fortunate because I've the worst review I've had is a 3-star, which I don't think is still too bad. And you know when you get those 3-stars that actually read much better? So I've always put them on because
reads like a 4.
Yeah. But it kind of does. And it's like, well I don't know why. What you're saying is that you really enjoyed it and it was quite good, but you've given it 3 stars. I'm quite fortunate that I've never been completely sort of mullered by reviewers. And
still a week left to go.
I know. I realise I'm saying this at entirely the wrong time. So I'm touching the table, which is pure melamine.
So now we have a nice vibe about feeling bad about reviews. It's a great time to bring our next guest into this positive vibe that we have yet again created. Ladies and gentlemen, Rhys Nicholson to the stage.
Yay. Hi.
So, terrible reviews. Let's cry. No, tell us about your show. Bring some positive vibe to this. What's
horrible reviews. No, my show is called Forward because I had to name of that 6 months before I'd written it. That's the hardest bit and the most important part. And it's just filth, really. It's just filth. I'm a filth merchant.
What time are you on?
I'm on at 8:20. One of those great fringe times.
Yeah, it's quite early for filth, isn't it?
Do you struggle? Yeah, no, people. I mean, it's classy filth. I've got a bow tie on when I do it.
Like, makes all the difference.
Yeah. Like, but no, it's going right. This is my third fringe, so I kind of feel like I've got my sea legs finally.
Hmm.
Not like the last. I know where things are now. That's good.
That helps.
Yeah, they moved it all. They've moved it all.
Fucking drunk person built this city.
I got lost coming here.
Yeah, well, because I'm next to the cow in the big purple. So you just watch people just wandering around, having no idea where anything is. They don't like change here, apparently. If you look at some of the buildings, it's very clear.
Yeah, they're just shy of about 100 years to build a tram system. So they slow progress.
They're like what blows my mind about the city is and this whole country, I guess, there are genuinely like pubs that you can have a glass of Coke in, and that is older than my country. Like, you know what I mean? Like, what you made our country. But there was stuff.
It wasn't
before.
Me, by the way. I didn't do that.
You guys started it.
Actually, to be fair, it was one of my girlfriend's ancestors. She was the first Attorney General one of her ancestors was the first Attorney General of Australia.
How old is your girlfriend?
Oh, really? How exciting is that?
Yeah. He is older than he looks.
I am older, I am a time traveller.
Oh, my God.
You deserve to have a bad shoulder at that age. I'm amazed it's all still on. It's true.
I'm actually doing quite well, really. Yeah. I'm amazed it's all still strung together. But, yeah, one of the first Attorney Generals of... the first Attorney General of Australia.
So we can blame her ancestors.
It's her fault, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, great. So she's the reason we have Tony Abbott now.
Yep,
our Prime
absolutely.
Minister. Great. Perfect.
Awkward.
Awkward.
But hey, you're over here now, so don't worry about that.
Yeah. And that's the other thing as well, that I know no news about Australia. Like, it's just the bubble. I have no idea what's going on there. At least your country's next to this country.
I think just racism and gay hate.
Yeah. That's on our flag now, I think.
Yeah.
But
it's
really
just taking a crazy turn.
In many ways, blame your other half, sir.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. It's completely Gillibrand's fault. Mm-hmm. What's his name?
Gillibrand.
Oh,
Gillibrand.
Name.
Yeah. Something Gillibrand.
Weirdly, quite a gay name.
It is, isn't it? I think the ladies protest too much. Don't you?
Mm. I mean, they don't protest too much about me, but
I don't understand how every time I do a radio show, Gillibrand gets mentioned. I don't know how this always seems to happen. It's like I'm jinxed. It's unbelievable. So you said the third year of doing the Edinburgh Fringe.
Yeah.
Have you done Australian festivals? I believe you have many nice ones.
Yeah. We Melbourne Comedy Festival, Sydney Comedy Festival, Adelaide Fringe, Perth Fringe now, where all the money is. a place called Perth, which is like a kind of like a mining city, that they had this huge mining boom. There's so much cash around, so you can charge like a whole bunch of money, and then the mining boom is now over, but they haven't changed the prices. So it's just these like rich people wandering around trying to put motors on jet skis and stuff that they can't afford to do it anymore. So we go there for the comedy.
Yeah. It's depressing that you're mentioning the idea of getting paid well to do a show. Mm. That's so alien to this concept of
like,
here.
It's like you can go to it and break even. It's fucking insane.
Wow.
Yeah.
I was thinking about doing have you done Adelaide?
I thought about thinking about breaking even this year. I was like, well, that's how I do it.
I'm being paid to be here.
What?
I knew that would make everybody stop.
Cut his mic.
I'm being paid to be here.
Did you trick someone into doing it? Is that how you
that
did it? Did you do
a
mind trick on it? Yeah.
That was a mind trick. I wasn't going to come this year because I've been...
madness.
You know when you get two ideas and you can't commit to one?
Mm. Nope.
So I'm writing two shows... Well, That's because you're so focused.
Yes.
And by the way, I saw the last show you did in the Gilded Balloon.
Oh, God.
That was, no, it was fucking brilliant. It was one of my favourites that year. I really loved it.
Gosh.
I just want to say that to you because it was really cool. I really liked
it. Thank you. You were one of the one people that saw that show that year, I think.
I really loved it.
Thank you very much for coming.
That's what it takes.
But, yeah.
But yeah, so I wasn't going to bring show at all. And then don't think a lot of people know, but you know, kind of the Voodoo Rooms in the evening, they put on their own paid program of shows, and it's connected up with the Stand and Assembly Rooms and stuff, and it's all part of that. And they said, would you bring up a show? And I said, I haven't got a new one. They said, can you bring up the one you won the awards for?
Nice.
Yeah, well, that's easy, I can do that. And they went, fine, well, we'll just take care of all the costs and give you a flat and give you a cut of the shows.
Actually sick in my mouth.
I don't want it. Yeah, yeah.
This is why I'm suffering. That's karma is kicking me right in the shoulder.
Yeah,
I think I'd rather
have a bad
shoulder.
But you can afford to get that shoulder.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Well, anyway, we're all really happy for you.
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
For sharing.
I'm so sorry.
I don't use both my shoulders. I would easily give in one just about to afford Edinburgh one year. But there was a thing in the news this week about the amount of money people spend on arts down in London on average. And it just broke my heart because it was like 200 quid a week. It was like, you are kidding me. Or no, if they go to one event or something, like a week's worth of entertainment when they have fun is 200 and something for the, I guess.
What?
I guess it's skewed because there's a lot of rich people who spend a ridiculous amount of money.
See, I have this theory that I don't think, this is one of the problems you've got with this kind of whole shift of money just into sort of the 1% and like their hangers on, is that I don't think those people go out and take part in the arts. They might go to the opera because it's good to be seeing the opera. Hmm. They don't go to comedy clubs. They don't go to see, you know, Fringe Theatre. I don't believe that. I think
they've
when
not
I say that's
my
the
show, I'll give you that. I've seen the bucket
Both
take at
them.
The end of my free Fringe show. And no millionaires have been in to see me so far.
That's what kind of what I mean. I don't think they do. And that's what worries me is that the people that do kind of engage with the arts, I think they're being squeezed and.
But then they, as you say, they spend them. The people who have that much money spend it on opera or some museum for some fine
and
art.
And that's expensive, and that's why it's 200 quid is the average.
Yeah. I am definitely cheaper. I mean, if you want a cheaper than a £200 night out, come and see my show.
For a tenner.
I wish it was a tenner.
What would you do for 200 quid as a show?
Ooh.
Just a private show. Actually, not even a private. I say that, a private show. But you know, you get those private bookings. Uh-huh. And the money's way
just
better
say,
than
you suck them off. Come on, just say.
That's part of the normal show.
Yeah.
But additionally, you know, would use teeth.
What?
So, yes.
Just on the backstrokes, right? No one wants teeth as you're going forward, do they? That's horrible.
Every time I do a radio show, we end up talking about teeth strokes during blowjobs. I don't know how this. That and the Gillibrand.
Yeah.
Darn it, every single time. So have you survived? Have you had any bad reviews? Because we. We good?
Not here yet. I've been quite lucky here. I got from a last year's show in Adelaide. I got a 2-star, and then a week later got a 4.5-star. So that just shows you how useless they are.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But then you never know in that situation who to trust.
That's the thing. Do you think that you tend? Maybe it's just I'm a bit of a pessimist, but you tend to read that 2-star and take it to heart, and they read the 4-star. And go, oh, that's nice.
Well, yeah, because the 4-star ones are always just nice things because they're not being constructive. They're just being nice. Whereas the 2-star ones are kind of like, and this was wrong. Like in Chortle, oh, I got a threesies, but read like from Chortle this year. But it was one of those really like, just, oh yeah, you're right about that. And you're right. And you want to be so pissed off. Like, come on, just give me 4. Yeah. But no, it was all correct.
Or just have the decency to have a sentence that's got the word not in it that you can edit out in a quote.
Yeah.
Why can't they do that?
Every time I see dot, 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 hilarious, or dot, 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 and you're like, there's no stars next to that. That's weird. It could be like, this is not the most hilarious thing I've seen at this festival. Or,
this guy thinks he is the best thing that comedy's ever seen.
Was it a few years ago that got a 1-star and just wrote a star?
A star, the Scotsman.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was. Which goes to show that the stunt's more famous than the person.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Poor branding.
That might be their name, Paul Branding.
That's going to be my
name. Paul Branding.
To be fair, though, it was a 1-star review, but it read like a 4.
Yeah.
Yay.
So that's I'd take one of those as well. So any news of your Fringe? Again, we're not thinking of news from the outside world because we're all in the bubble, but anything that happened to you that's fun?
I'm a very important person. That's my news. That's all I'm focused on. if you could tell 60 people a night, that'd be great. No, I don't know. Really. Yeah, I just the only news I see is just last. Did anyone else know? I think everyone's having the same fringe this year. Like the motions of it. Like it's not as chaotic. Like on the days where everyone's numbers are down. Like everyone's numbers
exactly,
are down,
yeah.
And everyone's
yeah.
Like, how much at the start of the fringe were we like, this is the best fringe in the world.
Yeah,
we've won. And then about a week ago, we all fucking fell
where
off some cliff.
Where is everyone? Yeah, it was like the tide had gone out. The people tide had left, hadn't it?
That means there'll be a tsunami of people coming back in.
Wouldn't that be ace?
Yes.
I'm going to run out and get soaking wet in punters.
I'm just, oh gosh. All right. I just about decked a flyer last night because decked is a punch in Australia. I don't know what it means here. Because they were complaining about, oh, it's pretty quiet. I'm getting really tired flyering. And I thought, but I have to do the fucking show after we're done. Like, so you know how there's no people out here? There's also going to be no people in front of me in the room. I'm just paying to sweat in front of a stranger now and to make jokes about cum. That's really what I've committed myself to do now. And at the end, I'm going to pay someone. Anyways.
No, that's
I'm essentially
like
a sex worker, but with less dignity. That's what it's come to.
So
I've come here to raise up the tone of the show today.
Yeah, so who wouldn't want to come and see your show? When's it on?
It is, 8:20. I'm doing the whole thing. I've got no days off because I'm a fucking idiot. I'm at 8:20 at the Wecoo. And that's Weecoo. So I keep thinking that people think I'm patronising them by saying, yeah, fucking Wecoo. But no, it's really what it's called.
That's the only Scottish act should be allowed to play there, because then they can get away with saying we.
Yeah. Me, I just look like this Australian dickhead wandering around being rude about our accent.
I've been telling, because some days you get an audience when they're all mainly Scottish, and I've been saying that I'm Scottish too, just I had a stroke and woke up with this accent, and it's the only way to get away with it.
Genius!
Yeah. All of a sudden I'm one of them. I've suffered.
No,
go on.
In Australia, because the accent is pretty much the same in all of Australia, like it doesn't really change because there's about four people that live there. But because I genuinely, and I know it's a joke that everyone makes when they get here, but when I do crowd work with people here, I genuinely sometimes just have to be like, I have no idea what you just said. Like at all. Like especially the Glasgow. I've got
Glasgow,
my grandparents
really
were from
hard,
Glasgow. Yeah. And I still remember being a kid talking to them down the phone and just going, I don't know what granddad's saying. Like, I just have no idea. And trying to, especially if they like bring up like a personal joke about Scotland or something, I've not done enough research for this show that I do not know what you're talking about. Is Margaret Thatcher still here? I don't know what's going on.
It seems to be, yeah, the spectre.
Yeah, you'd
there.
Think so.
Yeah. I'm with a bank who boasts of UK only.
All right, we get it.
Centers.
Things are going well. Fucking
yeah.
Hell.
I've got a bank. Boom. And it says UK only call centres, and it's based in Glasgow. And you might as well have a non-UK one, please. I would be able to understand it better.
Oh, so, yeah. Hooray for casual racism.
Oh, I'm the same race as Glasgow people, aren't I? It's barely even xenophobia. It would have been xenophobia if they voted for independence. Now, yeah. It's just
I'm
playful
bants. I'm so disappointed bants. They didn't. Not because I don't want to get rid of them, but I was going to move up here.
Oh, right.
I was absolutely seriously going to move up because... then we would have just been left with no hope whatsoever. Yeah. And these awful, awful...
I wanted them to vote for independence because every year I'd travel up as a fancy, exotic foreign act rather than one of these hated English people I am.
Good point, well made.
So, yeah. Would have been a step in the right direction. Right, it's time to bring on a next guest from... Now, you think I can get your surname right? Die Rotten Punked. Can we bring Otto to the stage? Ladies and gentlemen, Otto! Come through, get a sit down there.
Hello.
Right, tell us about what's happening with you.
Okay, it's Die Rotten Punked.
Die Rotten Punked.
But that's okay. No, because, you know, some people, like English-speaking people, they see Die Rotten Punk and they think it's like, you know, scary. But it actually, in German, means the red dots.
Ah.
Really? Yeah. Yeah.
I was expecting this to be, you know, like a snuff film of a show.
I'm a really nice man.
Ah.
Yeah.
Why did we book a nice man? Can we get?
I'm here to even it out.
Yeah. So tell us about the show. What was it again? Die Rotten Punkte.
Die Rotten Punkte. Yeah. So you know, for those people who have no idea who I am, I'm in a band with my sister.
A very good band.
Yeah. Well, Reese knows because we actually hung out last night because we were hosting the last of three of these variety shows called House Party. And we have been doing this in the Melbourne Comedy Festival for about 6 years. And the Melbourne Comedy Festival was so excited about it that they thought that they would produce it here. in Edinburgh, and for the first time we had Reese. He hosted a segment on this called Lip Sync Battle.
And please don't tell Jimmy Fallon that we were doing that. Keeping that on the down low.
Did you think of it first, or was it?
I've been lip syncing for years. We ran a battle somewhere, and then the show came out, I think. Yeah. So if anything, we should be suing him. I think that's the plan.
Yeah.
I think that's you, me, and some German lawyers taking down Jimmy Fallon. I think that'd be great.
Oops.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's for the first time that we do this with Reese, because in Melbourne we did some other things. This big variety show where we, we play some songs and we have some acts, and then we do challenges with them. They pick a house party card, and you know there might be some games. So last night we had David O'Doherty, and he picked this card, which was the Dolphin's Journey, which was really about him putting on some, how do you call this, floaties? Do you know this?
I have no idea what we did.
Do you know? I do know, but I want to make you work for this.
If it's a floater.
I prefer a floaty.
Flotation device.
Yes. He puts this on his arms, and then he... we put on this music from The Big Blue, which is like a sea movie. And then
sea movie.
Is that what? Ocean. Yeah, like this?
Yes. Yeah.
That does seem like one worse than a B movie, doesn't it? It's
got And so he is crowd surfing across, and then people squirt water pistols on him while he's doing this.
It was incredible.
Yeah, it was very
it was
beautiful.
Like, the great thing about House Party is in Melbourne, like, it's this institution where people, like, all the performers and all the techs and everyone, and also just general public, just go every Sunday night, because it's like this. You just don't. You might see David O'Doherty being carried across an audience, or you might see what is it? There's my favorite one that you guys do is where two people have to go for a date. So you pick two random people from an audience. Is that right?
And then speed date.
Speed it, and they have to run out to the fish and chip shop or somewhere and have a speed date. And at the end of the show, they come back and you talk about the date.
Yeah,
yeah.
We do a collection in the audience. We get some money together. They do a quick date.
Send them off.
Yeah, and then they go to the chip shop around the corner.
It's incredible.
Australia, they have this thing called a potato cake.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what this is? Have you ever seen this?
Well, is it a cake that's made of potato?
It's
not so much a cake that we know. It's more like a hockey puck.
A fritter.
Hash brownie type thing?
No, because hash brownie...
Roshti.
No, because that is more like
fancy.
What are
some other potato things?
This is just
this has become a lift.
A lactus. Lactus. The Jewish would call it lactus.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't have them in your country.
No.
No.
That's actually...
Move on from I wasn't sure if you meant Germany or my country, Australia, then. I was like, oh, God.
It's much the same with Tony Abbott, isn't it? Really much the same.
Yeah. Jesus Christ.
A boxty is also a potato thing.
I'm totally allowed to say that on account of being Jewish. I'm totally allowed to say that. And can I just point out that I am flat sharing with the act Frank Sinatra. Right? And the shower time is tense. Back to your racist potato cake.
I feel all comfortable now. No, so they have this Australian potato cake, which is like this hockey puck that you deep fry of potato, and they, sometimes put some, things like
salt.
Yeah, they call it dead horse.
Dead horse.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's rhyming slang for ketchup.
Oh,
that doesn't rhyme with ketchup.
Dead horse.
Yeah, they
ketchup.
Tomato sauce.
Dead horse.
Yeah, so they say dead horse in Australia.
Oh. We call it Iceland lasagna.
Really?
Yes. Yeah.
Anyway, so they eat these potato cakes.
In Tesco's, it actually is just dead horse.
Yeah. Traces of ketchup. Oh.
So they bring back the dead horse as well, and they talk about all of the things that they did, and it's a beautiful time. Yeah.
You know, because on, what's the name of the date? Because there used to be blind date, and now there's the, take me out. They'll do follow-up to see if these people ever marry.
Yeah.
Have you ever had a successful relationship that hit it off in that moment and you got invited to a wedding?
The only thing that I heard is these people never spoke to each other ever.
But probably the food.
Yeah, but that's the temptation for us to just keep doing it. You know, we want some success.
Eventually, yeah. If you do it eventually, that you'll just by random chance, these two people will be perfect for each other.
Yeah, yeah.
Then you get to go to a wedding.
Yeah.
And they get to be the wedding band.
Yes.
So it's a gig as well. There you go.
But now this is the end of the house parties, which we are here for. The only thing that I have left to do at this Fringe is a big night called the Big C Comedy Gala.
Okay.
Which is, do you know about this? Uh-huh. Have you done it before?
Yes, done it before, yeah.
Oh, that's great. So you know more about it than
fab.
Me.
It's fab. Yeah. So it's raising money for charity. It's being run by the fabulous Barry, who runs all the venues for the Fringe Association, whose sister tragically died a few years ago of breast cancer, and he puts on this fabulous gala every year. It's about 2 hours long.
Yeah.
2 hours long, and everybody, darling, goes through it at some point.
Well, and
it's always fucking great, and it's in the EICC.
That's right, yeah. 2,000 seats.
2,000 seats. Wow. It's a lovely, lovely gig to do, and it raises lots and lots and lots of money. And this year he's doing a cabaret version too, isn't he?
Well,
or has that been and gone?
No, that's coming. So during the day, they have the big the cabaret gala, and at night we are hosting the comedy gala.
Yeah. It will be brilliant.
Yeah.
It's always brilliant. Go and see it.
Yeah. If so there's 2,000 people in, surely you can pair up a relationship that's going to last,
think,
rather than one of these just one night over a fritter.
I would love to.
Plus, imagine the collection, right?
Yeah.
Even if everybody just put in a quid each, that's some fucking speed
date. They could go to the Balmoral.
Yeah. That's a good idea. We should do
they
it.
Could buy them, book a room.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get them a bag of Coke or something, and they can have a really good first date. That would be incredible. Story for the grandkids. Well, last night it seemed like, because there was a banana eating competition at a house party last night, and the guy, it seemed like the lip sync battle was going to be the gayest thing you saw, but turned out to be a banana eating competition.
Yeah.
But the guy and the girl, they both found out they were from Toronto.
Yes.
And so there was this kind of moment in the room where we're like, oh my God, I think they're going to end up together. They're going to the Big C
gala
together.
Yeah, because we gave them some tickets. Because we wanted to make sure that there were people in the audience who knew who we were.
Mm-hmm.
So we gave some tickets out to our audience.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But
so they're going on a date now. I guess they're going on a date now. You've already won. You've done it.
Yeah. If they have kids, there'll be more fans. I mean, this is how religion works. If you can get them to spread, that's going to be great.
Charismatic.
So now we've got everyone on the stage. So, Doug, you have the ability to control minds, and we're all a little bit worried that you're going to somehow program
us. Can you tell that?
You say that, but... But nobody's I've not managed to persuade anyone to say my gig's on.
Well.
Have I? No.
Your mind reading and suggestion isn't just hinting. The idea
it's not very subtle.
I think I've come across this as a concept before.
Do you want me to do something?
If you could do some sort of...
Can I look at your book, Joe?
Yeah.
See if it's suitable for my purposes.
Yeah, have it.
He's just got himself a free book.
Let me
just explain
myself. Ladies and
gents. That's fine, there are words in it.
$3.99 to download on Amazon.
Say. I'm going to flick through the book. I realise we need to talk through this for people at home, don't we?
Yeah.
So I'm going to flick through the book like this. You tell me when to stop, Steve, okay?
Yep. Whoop.
So, well, Steve, I'm really sorry, mate. It's early. I'm not clear with the instructions there. But before I get to the end.
Right? I thought there might be an appendix. Let's stop.
There, oh, yes.
No,
you
I
sure?
Think I've over. No, yeah, that's about right. I'll deal with that.
But look at, say, the first, I don't know, three words on this page. Take
yes.
the book from me.
Yes.
Don't read them out loud.
Okay.
You got them?
Yes.
Yeah? Just remember them.
I'm
close
looking,
the book up.
Yeah.
Close the book up.
All right.
Think about the first word for me. Say it over and over again in your head. It's a small word, so that's going to be like Eve or Av or Av or. Say it over and over again. It's a vowel. I.
It is I.
So think about the next one. It's another small word. That's no use to me. Third word. Bit bigger. No vowels. Choose a letter in the middle.
Hang on, Doug, no vowels.
Don't choose any vowels.
Right,
but choose a letter in the middle of the word.
Okay.
Got one?
Yep.
Say it again, over and over again in your head. That's a plosive, so it's a B or a P. It's a P.
It's a P.
Yeah.
And by the way, just my internal monologue there was me going I, and then P, 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 P. So after this, I need a slash.
Probably, yes. Say the three words in your head over and over again. Just keep saying it. Can I borrow a piece of this paper and a pen? Have you got a pen there?
Yeah,
okay, just keep saying it in your head.
Yeah.
For someone, feel for me.
No, this is great radio. Yeah.
Fabulous radio.
Shall I put the mic to my? I'm going to put the mic to my head.
I am writing something down. Steve, can you close your eyes, buddy? Yeah, keep your eyes closed. I'm just going to tell the rest of the panel here. I'm just going to show them what I think his three words are, and then I'm going to ask you three on the count of three to say what I've just written down. And Steve can tell us if we're right or not. One, two, three.
I do hope.
Yay! That's amazing.
Oh, my God.
I'm a little bit in love.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Where's the applause effect?
Oh, yeah. Woo!
Yeah. So you say that you're in love, though, but do you want to be in a relationship with a man that knows your thoughts at all times?
knows that you
your
do
own
hope.
Ashley Madison.
You know, that's one of the first things people ever say to my girlfriend. And what she says is, that says so much more about you than it does about our relationship.
Oh, I'm a huge liar.
Your first worry is, what if you knew what I was thinking? Jesus Christ, why would that
thinking?
Be a problem? These are the people. These are the people whose addresses are now on the dark net.
I was going to say, surely we all have a little bit of a lie. I mean, you know, when someone...
Why stop at little? I'm not even gay. My wife hates my act.
I'm trying to spread a rumour I'm not fit to say what it is, but a very, very, very gay actress whose material is mostly about him being gay is actually straight.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing my best
just to try and ruin it. Yeah, yeah. I had a friend who had a campaign to try and split Anton Deck up.
Do that. The universe would implode.
It'd be great. It'd be such a legacy for my mate, though, if he was like, because he worked in TV and he just started spreading rumours just about one of them. Because that's the only way to get in there. But yeah,
have you heard that lovely Pappy story about how... There was a rumor going around. Have you seen Pappy's, like, they did the dinosaur thing? You know,
I've not seen the dinosaur.
Okay, so one of the sketches they do is a ridiculous sketch. It's just one of them wearing, like, a bathing cap on his head, an old T-shirt, and sort of flailing his arms at sort of shoulder height, and he's a dinosaur, right? And bizarrely, the dinosaur is a hit with the ladies, yeah? They all the kind of Pappy groupies, but all that, like, are you going to do the dinosaur thing tonight, right? And I can't remember which one of them does it now. It's not Tom, it's not Matthew. Who does that leave? Help me out here.
Is it the short one with the glasses, the tall, regular one, or the old one?
The one that we can't remember. But, Clarkie, yeah. So, you know, Clarkie pulled a groupie, and she said, can you shag me as the dinosaur?
No.
Right? And so this room was going round, and someone told Clarkie, like, no, that didn't happen. That really didn't happen. And eventually Matthew had to admit that while Clarkie was drunk, this was Clarkie's idea to spread that rumour. And he'd completely forgotten that he'd started the rumour.
That's the plot of a film.
It's brilliant, isn't it?
That's amazing.
Genius, yes.
You were talking before about you have to use your powers responsibly, right?
I use them for good.
Yeah. Do you know?
He's
do
good.
Do you know anyone that can do what you do who doesn't use it?
Do you know? It's really funny you say that because, like, I mean, my act's a comedy act. And the last show I did, I had a narrative running through it, which had like a villain that was an animation. He was like my enemy. There was an actual narrative plot running. Who was Guriella? Who used these powers for evil, and then like the show got disrupted when Guriella invades the show and blows up the head of one of the audience members. And
gosh, do you ever worry that because you're a man with a beard, obviously on radio people can't tell this, that if you discover that you've got a twin, you'd be the evil one.
You make a good point.
Yeah. So you actually you would be using your powers for evil. Yeah.
Now that is a plot of a film, isn't it? Mm.
Do you know what? Totally I do little else with my life.
I know.
Just watch films.
Why would you want to?
It's out there, brill.
Yeah.
People spend money on them and stuff. You said in your show that you can teach people the ability to read minds or plan.
Yeah. So what I do is the structure of this show, which is called How to Read Minds and Influence People, is that basically, I mean, it starts with me doing something very impressive, and there are lots of gags, and, you know, there are elements of stand-up in there, you know? And as we go through, so I do a lie detector test with some people from the audience, and I explain how I'm telling who's lying. I do a thing where I implant a thought in the head of one of the audience members, and while I'm doing that, this was a horrible spoiler for the show. But basically, the rest of the audience see what's happening.
Oh,
they can physically see me doing it, but the person on stage can't. I won't give that away too much. There's like an animation where I teach everyone a trick they can do at home, and they get a handout with the graphics and the actual words to use and stuff. And as I say, the big finale is we grab a random person and I tell them uniquely how to read the minds. Well, I get three people to stand up, they think of a word, and they tell them what it is.
Mm. I've just got cock jokes.
I was going to say, that's a great message. You can learn.
Oh, there are plenty
people...
of cock jokes.
Oh, good.
The first
thank
gag
God.
In there is about a Thai prostitute.
Oh, good.
Did this Thai prostitute have a cock?
Not anymore.
Wow, you're pretty good at this mind reading stuff. That's a great take home message from a show. Mm-hmm. What would you say people take home from your show, Reese?
Merchandise. Hopefully. Well, what is my show about? It's kind of like, it's just an hour of stand-up, really, but it's about how my generation is very useless and that we don't... Yeah, see? Everyone agrees. And heirlooms and stuff, and legacies and stuff like that. Yeah, so I don't know. But mostly it's just cock jokes.
Right.
You can take home just how to do stuff to another person. that's pretty much... You can take that however you want.
Okay.
Yeah. What is your show about, Jo?
Mine is about... it starts off with my hideous Edinburgh last year.
Still not let that go.
And so, for instance, I actually, when I was setting the chairs up for one of my shows last year, before I nearly had my breakdown, I came across a chair that someone had shat on. Yeah,
I was very drunk. I'm really sorry.
The critics are harsh.
Exactly. That was in the show before mine, but I had to clear it up 5 minutes before I went on stage. So that was nice.
There's so much, so many questions. I know.
But then that leads me nicely into my story where I actually shat myself in Wilkinson's. So because. I realise nobody shits themselves on purpose, so I feel like I should open up and be honest and say I know whoever did that would have been. It's an emergency.
I've definitely taken. It always takes me a couple of weeks to get used to the Scottish food, and it does. you will eat because I quite like the food here, but you'll be walking down the street and just go, "Oh, I'm going to shit right now. Like it's going to happen quick, right now.
Quick, find a Wilkinson's.
Exactly. Day four." Sharted at the end of the show.
Oh.
Wow, we've plowed right
into this. I plowed through though, because I'm a fucking pro.
Yeah, yeah, it's good. It's
incredible.
Good.
With a shoulder like that, I don't even know how you'd wipe anyway. So
I have people to do it for me with the swan I use for the purpose.
Otto, whenever Otto. You shit your pants.
No, I've never done that.
Of course you have.
Yeah, they say that. They all say that. I ask my audience, they'll go, no, no. And I say, do you ever shut yourself in Wilkinson's anywhere? And one, this guy, not yesterday, the day before, he went, I don't go to Wilkinson's, I go to Waitrose. I went, oi, you're on the free fringe. This is a free show.
Shut yourself in Waitrose.
I've never actually shat myself, but I've definitely got very close. Not
just the matter of time.
Yeah.
I'm still young. There's still time to live my dream.
It definitely happens more as you get older.
My sister Astrid said that maybe I do that because these pants I had specially made and they have like this.
Oh, there's bagging.
Here,
there's
bagginess,
isn't
there? You've got some room
to maneuver shit in there.
Yeah, if I want to do a poo in here.
Yes.
Then why there's plenty of space
very
for
German.
To go.
Yeah. Could get away with that. Yeah, because they like to have a look at it. It's normally a little shelf, isn't it?
Yeah, the poo shelf.
Yeah, there you go.
What is a poo shelf?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, come on.
Dan, what is the other... Otto, you have a friend called Dan doing a show as well.
Oh, yes. Yes, my friend.
Nice segue. That was seamless.
Who we sometimes, who gives us songwriting advice.
Yeah.
Yeah, he is doing a show called The Orchid and the Crow, and it's on at 4:10 at Assembly Downstairs Roxy. Oh, Roxy Downstairs. That's what it's called. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah. And he talks about growing up as a Jewish atheist, and then he talks about, that not really preparing him for having testicular cancer treatment. It's pretty heavy, isn't it? No, actually, I've seen the show. It's actually very, very funny.
It's a hell of a gear change from the poo chat we've just had, isn't it?
Yeah,
where have you shot yourself?
Yeah.
Testicular cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's doing that, and it's a great show. So I tell everyone to go and see it.
Four stars from the Scotsman.
Right.
That's true. Yeah, nice. He did.
So tomorrow on the FUBAR show, let's do all the plugging right now. So FUBAR, normally Mondays, make sure you listen when we're back from Edinburgh and things will be normal and my voice will be a little bit better. We'll be back Mondays 10 till 1 with Eric, who won't run off right at the start because he's got nothing to do in London. His career's busy up here, back down south. That guy has missed a spare time. So he will be on the show. Make sure you listen to that tomorrow on the shows that are live from Edinburgh. The getter, the host, is Tom Latch. Oh, Tom Latch is doing a show. Oh, he's brilliant. He's another one who does topical shows on the FUBAR back down south. Mark Watson's going to be one of the guests. Brett Goldstein, John McKeever, am I saying that right? Yes, your handwriting is amazing, Amanda. Elvis McGonigal's got to be the guest as well. So we're in the last little bit of the show. Let's get into the meat of the deal, the plugging it. Talk about your shows and get people there. In the order that we were.
Yeah,
I love the fact that
that's what we were meant to be doing. Shit.
I mean, you've plugged your shows and our individual abilities to poop our pants.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's something we didn't think we'd do.
Proud.
Who wouldn't
be
want
proud
to come now?
Exactly.
Don't sit at the front.
Yeah. do sit at the front.
Did I talk about which guests are coming on the Big C Comedy Gala?
Not yet. Go. Okay. You can go for it.
Well, Andrew Maxwell, Felicity Ward, also David O'Doherty.
And sheep.
Glenn Wool.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Big fan of Glenn Wool.
Yeah. So, you know, that's
an incredible lineup. That's kind of like just this, that's the darlings of the festival all lined up.
Yeah. Some of those people are selling out their shows. Like, this is the only place you can see them now.
Yeah.
The only place you can
see them. I'm amazed they're all allowed in the same room at the same time for security reasons.
Yeah.
One terrorist attack and no one's funny. Let's just start again. Joe, tell us about your show and where people can see you.
It's 3 p.m. every day till Saturday at Cowgate Head. It's I always award my audience an orienteering degree for finding it. It's not the easiest room to find. But it does ensure I have an intelligent, determined audience every day, which I love. And it's been full every day. So again, touch melamine that it's that I haven't tripped myself up by saying that. So yeah, do come and find me. And you can hear my story about shitting myself in Wilkinson's and lots of others.
That makes it sound like
I don't make a habit of it, but yeah, see, it has happened the once, and the other stories in the show are sort of just nightmares that I've had dating, for example, that are in the book. And
you pooed yourself on a date?
I haven't pooed myself on a date. Some of them would have been more fun had I.
Okay. Rhys, give us the info. We obviously cock jokes is what we're going to get, but where do we get it?
Cock jokes, classy filth. I'm doing my show at 8:20 at the Underbelly Weeku, and I'm also doing a late show in the middle of the Meadows. You can just come and be involved.
Is
in
it
that
a proper venue? Or yeah.
No, it's just me just having sex with people in the middle of the venue.
Beautiful work. Doug, this is the moment you've been telling us to do to plug your show. Come on, tell us where people can see.
7:35 at the Voodoo Rooms. Come on down.
Yay.
Oh, you could do a bigger plug than that.
That's it. We've done nothing but talk about
come.
My show. Do, please.
Yes,
it's good.
Sweet.
People like it.
Well, cheers a bit. I almost forgot. I mean, see Eric's show. Whatever it's something, something, something. President is the name of his show. It's a long title. It's mostly his poster.
With this.
Yeah. How dare you? You should plan things better. And then there's the there's two shows that I do. One's with Eric, 11 o'clock nighttime, Some News Extra, where we do some chit chats. But the one that I do is 7:15, Some News, The Mistakes. I mean, the idea of doing some poop. All of a sudden, that would be a mistake. But come and see it. It's in Bar 50, where we talk about people who've made mistakes, and it's got them in the news. Till then, have a good one.
Stephen Allen. Woo! Very good.
Yay.
FUBAR Radio presents.
Let me there.
Good afternoon, sir.
I can play the harmonica.
There you are. I got the FUBAR. You know what? I've loved this. This is the best one I've had on air in a very, very long time since this morning. So,
every Monday, this is a FUBAR Radio podcast. You can subscribe to the app on Apple and Android. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.